Welcome to What's Poppin', where we get to know the people of Prince of Peace and dig a little deeper into the message from the previous Sunday. My guest today is Andy Bull. Andy, thanks for coming today.
You're quite welcome. Thanks for the opportunity.
First question I have for you today is, how long have you been in the area?
The area, I grew up in Belmont, California, across the bay, went to a Lutheran church. My cultural baggage is Lutheran.
Okay.
And I kind of grew up with that. And then I went away to college, came back, and we moved to Redwood City, went to another Lutheran church, Redeemer down there, went across the bay in 1999.
Okay.
Chose a Lutheran church up in Walnut Creek, and then living from Castro Valley, I knew Pastor Tom from the time he was about 20.
Really?
Yeah, I'll tell you about that. But he, I called him and talked to him about some theological issues that I was having with a new pastor that was called. And so I started coming to the church out in the parking lot.
Oh, really?
So I've been in the Bay Area almost all my life, except when I went to college and was in youth ministry in Southern California for about 5.5 years.
So you've known Pastor Tom since about 20?
Yeah, 19 or 20 years old is my best bet.
How'd that come about?
I was working after college. I was working in a ministry called Lutheran Youth Alive.
Okay.
And I was the Southern California coordinator for that ministry. And we had summer team ministries. And we would put together teams of kids, 5 or 6, mm-hmm. Do training for 1.5 weeks, and then send them out to different churches. They stayed in kids' homes, and they had songs, all the most current songs. They had plays that we taught them, skits and whatever. And Tom was lived in Southern California down in, I forget the town, but his church was going to have one of the teams.
Oh, okay.
And so he said, can I come to the training? And I said, absolutely.
Yeah.
So we started talking back and forth at the training, and he was involved with everything. He was seeing what was going on, and actually his cousin Martha was in one of my teams. When I went to Southern California to develop a conference, we had a big conference 2 times a year, once Northern, once Southern California. Tom's mom said, you know, don't go to a hotel or anything, you know. And I ended up at Tom's house a few times, and guess where we ended up?
I don't know.
On a piano bench.
Oh,
and
yeah?
He would start playing the piano, and we would start singing songs.
Really?
And so that's how I first met him and got to know him. So
that's a fantastic story.
Yep.
And now you're at his church now in Fremont.
That's, yeah.
Small Lutheran world, right? What's one of the things you like most about your job, Andy?
Well, I'm fortunate. I'm a part of a family-owned business started 92 years ago by my grandfather in 1930.
Oh, goodness.
And so he moved in 24 to California from Chicago. In 1930, there was a depression, and they said, Charles, his name was Charles Henry. That's where my company name is, C.H. Bull.
Ah, okay.
And so, so they said, Charles, we can no longer keep you in California, but you've got a job in Chicago or St. Louis. And my dad said his response to that was, I bought a home in San Mateo. Mm-hmm. I haven't shoveled snow for 6 years, and I forgot what humidity feels like. I'm not going back. So he stayed and started the company in the height of the Depression in 1930.
Wow.
I have his original Wells Fargo bank book when he deposited $39.17 or something to start the C.H. Bull account. So what I like about it is it gives me the opportunity to be in front of people. Mm-hmm. And teach and train, and that's
so. What do you teach and train about?
Safety related issues.
Okay.
And I mentioned I was in ministry, youth ministry before that,
right?
And of course, was trying to save lives that way, and now I'm trying to save lives another way.
Physically, yeah.
And so, in 1989, OSHA said everybody has to have mandatory safety meetings. Mm-hmm. And so I started going to job sites and saying, "Hey, let's do a safety meeting, a tailgate meeting," and I'd do little, you know, they'd give me 3 minutes, 4 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, give me 15 at least, you know. We got to do some training here. And so I'd start doing tailgate meetings all over Northern California. And there weren't many people doing that. And now I've developed a series of meetings and talks now you know, I enjoy the opportunity to talk. I hear people a lot of times, especially, you know, we're doing all of our training online.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm not a fan of that. One of the things Tom said in his sermon last week, we're jumping ahead, but they saw Jesus, they heard Jesus, they touched Jesus.
Yeah.
And in our learning experience, the more senses we can interject into our learning experience, the deeper the learning experience is.
Yeah, the more it sticks, for sure.
It really does.
Yeah.
You know, if you just hear something, you retain 5 or 10%. You hear and see something, it's more hear, see, touch, hear, see, smell.
Yep, read too.
Yeah. You know, so the more you can engage a person's senses, the deeper the learning. And so I get to do that quite often.
You kind of covered this, but how long have you been at Prince of Peace then? You started coming to the parking lot services.
The parking lot services, and I came, and my wife never did come down to the parking lot services, but, you know, it was January, February, and it could have been cold. We had a great experience. I don't think we ever got rained out on a parking lot.
Yeah.
I said, let's go ahead and go down to Pastor Tom's church. Her grandfather, who married us, was a vice president of the Missouri Synod.
Oh, goodness.
All of her background, her teachers and pastors and preachers. And she came in the very first service. She talked to Pastor Tom afterwards, and she said, I feel like I just came home.
Oh, so, that's nice.
So, yeah, it was really nice. So,
we love having you two here.
Thanks.
You're always a big, cheery guy to be around, and you always have a word of encouragement, and that's one of the things that you do in general. And the first time I met you, you took a stone out of your pocket, and you gave it to me. And so I want to ask you, what does the phrase "choose joy" mean to you?
And so I'm glad you asked the question. So I had to sit down and think a little bit about it.
Okay.
And let's start with when I was in Young Life, my Young Life leader told me that JOY was an acronym.
Okay.
As an eighth grader, actually, I met him.
And, I think I know you're going with the acronym, but what's the acronym?
But the acronym is put Jesus first, others second, yourself third.
Yeah.
And so that was the first kind of time JOY, and that's kind of the way this Young Life leader lived. He was bigger than life.
Yeah.
And so that was pretty important. And then, of course, as I studied and I tell people, I went to a Lutheran church my whole life. Mm-hmm. I went to confirmation as an eighth grader, but I truly don't believe I was confirmed because the pastor, I had three pastors during my eighth grade year of confirmation.
Oh,
and
that's
and
odd.
It's very odd. And so there was no consistency.
Yeah.
And the pastor asked me, what's your relationship in Jesus Christ mean? And I said, well, that's not one of the questions you asked me to memorize. I can tell you the article, the third article,
seventh commandment.
What do you want?
Yeah.
But that isn't something you asked me.
Yeah.
And so I went through confirmation. But what I tell people is my confirmation came in my sophomore year in high school at a Young Life meeting in a living room in San Carlos, California.
Okay.
When the Young Life leader told a story about where Jesus lives.
Yeah.
And I really believe that was my confirmation. I get it now.
You get it.
I get it now.
Okay.
He's here.
All right.
And so the joy thing, of course, as you, a young Christian, and you start studying, you get into Galatians, of course, and the fruit of the Spirit.
Okay.
And so the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, you know.
All those fantastic
all those
Christian
fun
words.
Fun things.
Yeah.
And the gifts of the Spirit are different because those are assigned, those you are gifted with those things, but not everybody gets the same gifts.
Right. Yeah.
But everybody gets the same fruit.
Okay.
Everybody, by believing in Jesus, the fruit of the Spirit is given to us, love, joy, peace, etc.
Because you have the Spirit.
Because we have the Spirit. Yeah. And so it's the Spirit that gives us the joy. The joy then allows us to understand all those other gifts in the way Jesus lived.
Yeah.
And so actually, I should have been, to be more accurate on my stone, because you asked the question, it shouldn't have been choose joy. It should have been accept joy.
Ah, yeah.
And that probably would have created more questions.
Yeah.
What do you mean accept joy?
Yeah.
But I use choose joy, and I tell a lot of people it's a, you know, we have a choice. And I'm not talking happiness. I'm talking joy. Joy is something deeper. It's in within because of my relationship I have with Jesus.
Right.
Happiness is because I got a new car. Happiness is because I got a cool present at Christmas time.
Yeah, happiness is fleeting.
Very superficial. Yeah. And very. So it's not, I'm not saying choose happiness. I'm saying, so live joy, accept joy as a part of your life. Joy as a fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. So joy is mentioned about 60 times.
Okay.
And I think probably it's mentioned more than love, because there are three definitions to love, but it's mentioned so many times. I just felt that was really, really important that we realize we all have that as a fruit of the Spirit. And if you say, hey, I'm a Christian, then you ought to feel this joy.
How do you express feeling this joy? Because one of the ways that you presented to me, and I should say to the people listening that in case you don't know, what Andy does is he comes up and he gives you a stone, on the stone it says, choose joy. And you said, especially over the last few years, this has become very important to you to spread that message to others, because people are choosing other things instead of joy. And so how do you express this joy or feel this joy?
Well, you just live it. It's you don't have to. It's happiness. You go, yay! Yeah. But joy can be really quiet. Joy can be doing what you made me do, is sit down and think about my faith and go, wow, this is so cool.
Yeah.
So it's not something. I use this as an opportunity, because sometimes they'll talk and ask questions. Why are you doing this? Yeah. And I said, well, you know, I tell people, I started this with COVID because everybody was complaining. Yeah. You know, how long are we going to have these minutes? How long is this going to, it's only supposed to last 15 days. On and on. Yeah. And they were all complaining. That's when I decided to do it, because everybody was complaining and griping. And so I said, now's the time.
Now's the time.
And so I said, choose joy, because, you know, they're choosing to gripe and complain. And so, but like I say, in reality, I should have had those the rocks made accept joy, because that's where it comes from. We have to accept the fruit of the Spirit.
God's given it to you. Just receive it. Yeah. And I think close cousins to joy are peace and contentment.
Sure.
Right? Like those help us understand this idea of joy, where it's not, like you said, a happiness, a fleeting feeling. It is a sense of things are okay. Right? You know, things are okay because I've got Jesus, you know.
In the middle of COVID, things were okay.
Things were okay. And I know where I'm headed. I know who loves me.
Yep.
I know whose family I'm part of, you know. Yep. And so close cousins are peace and contentment to that sense of joy. All right. So that leads us well into the message from last Sunday.
Okay.
And so I asked the guests of the podcast to come up with two things they think were interesting or good or made them think more about the message last Sunday. And this is the first time we've done a podcast where I'm not the one who preached last Sunday.
Right.
And so I'm curious to hear what things you came up with from Pastor Tom's message last Sunday.
Well, I already mentioned one of them was when you're teaching. The more senses you're involved, well, that's what he's talking about. John was talking about, you know, I've seen it, I've heard it, I felt it, you know, and he touched. And so I'm saying that experience, knowing that man, is much greater because of the personal experiences he had seen, touched, felt, hugged, cried, probably jumped in the Jordan River when it was really hot with him and they had a water fight together or something. I don't know, but... And then when he said touching, and of course we all relate to Thomas, put your finger in my side, put it in my hand.
Yeah.
And when he's talking to Thomas in the other Gospels, he doesn't mention feet, but I never noticed it said my feet and touch my feet, grasp my feet.
Yeah.
Grasp my feet. And I said, where's that? And I found it in Luke.
Yeah.
And it says, grasp my feet.
Yeah.
And he says, why was that important? And Tom said, well, because it says right there, grasp my feet, because I'm not a ghost. Right. I'm not just an image. I'm not
ghosts don't have feet.
Ghosts don't have feet. And I said, that's cool.
Yeah. One of the things I liked about Pastor Tom's message this past Sunday was that idea of bringing multiple things in to help us learn better, right? And so the visual, first of all, the visual of the chair and the cardboard chair, that was for the kids, but also for us, right? That was really good. And I also like how hurt he was when he said, but I made the chair. You know? But the, you know, as silly as it can look sometimes, or be a silly idea, the teddy bear as representing Jesus, and the tissue he used as the God thing that rested upon
the Christ.
Yeah, that visual I thought was so helpful in understanding the heresy that Pastor Tom was talking about and giving people an idea of this is what was going on. And there's still people today who think this kind of the same way,
right,
about Jesus. And so bringing in those multiple aspects of learning, of seeing, hearing, smelling, touching, all that sort of stuff, for ways for us to remember the word even better and carry it into our week is fantastic.
When I was going to church over at Redeemer in Redwood City, for about 5 years, every Sunday, I did the children's sermons.
And
I think when the new pastor came, he got mad at, you know, he started hearing people saying, you know, I got more of that children's sermon than I did out of the pastor. And I said, that's because we're seeing visuals. We're seeing this, and it's just a deeper learning experience.
Yeah.
And there's not a children's sermon I haven't heard to where I could apply it to my life.
Yeah, and so you break it down as easy as you can for the kids, which the adults need to hear.
Yeah.
And the visuals typically are actually better received by the adults than the kids, because the kids are at an age where, like, you tell them Jesus loves them, like, okay, Jesus loves me. Awesome.
That's cool.
You know? Yeah. But then the visual only helps the adults solidify what they're trying to hear as well.
Right. Yeah. Indeed.
Yep.
Another thing he said was the life, and he made the statement. He says, you know, we use that saying, get a life.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking, yeah, get a life. Yeah. What's that mean? Well, when it talks about us as a Christian having life, that means we not only have life, we're breathing and heartbeats and everything else, but we've got the fruit of the Spirit in our life. We've got something substantial in our life.
Yeah.
And as a Christian, we aren't just going to be a heartbeat and a breather. We're going to have life in it that people are going to see. And as a witness to be able to see that and say, what makes you different?
Yeah.
You're different.
Right. Yeah.
And your life is different.
Reflects something different.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. There was a wealth in there. And of course, what Pastor Tom does is he's so good with the historical context.
Oh, yeah.
And when he started, I've always read, you know, born of water and the blood, and I always just thought of natural birth. And yes, he's a person.
Yeah.
But he said, you got to think about, that's the way we think.
Right.
And when he got the spear in the side,
stabbed. Yeah.
We're figuring out why the water and blood came out.
We get real medical on it.
We do. Yeah. When we shouldn't, because we're not doctors or anything. We haven't So when he takes that and he says, let's go back to the first century.
Yeah.
And he says, here's what they thought.
Right.
That in Jewish writings, the body's made up of water and blood.
Yeah.
And the that sure there was, Mary gave birth to it with water and blood.
Yeah.
And so I'd always just kind of passed over that. But of course, and it was mentioned other places in Scripture, and like in 1 John. So...
Jesus is flesh, right? He's also God, so there's a thing we can't wrap our mind around, but that's the case.
That's true. Yeah.
You may hear a bump occasionally on the microphone, folks, and that's because Andy is a very good speaker. He uses his hands a lot, and so he's having a hard time controlling himself, which is very engaging for me, but you guys can't see it, but I can.
Yeah.
All right, so I got one more question for you then, and that is, what is your favorite grilled food?
Probably ribs, if they're done right.
If they're done right.
Yeah, yeah.
Barbecued?
Barbecued for sure.
Yeah, and do you ever cook ribs yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
On occasion, but my son-in-law has taken over that task of barbecuing, and we'll do them a favor, and they'll come over and barbecue for us, and he did that yesterday.
Yeah.
But it was hot dogs and hamburgers. We had, I don't know, 15 of us at the house.
Oh, goodness.
So,
yeah.
So we were barbecuing. So grilled, almost anything grilled.
Yeah.
You know, some things, I guess you can grill almost anything or barbecue.
You can, you can,
but eggplant wouldn't be one of my favorites. And Brussels sprouts wouldn't be one of them. You can grill them and do everything you want, but there's still a Brussels sprout or eggplant.
I'm sensing a trend here. you like the meat.
The meat. I love lots of vegetables, it's the meat. Grilling.
Yeah. So barbecue, Carolina barbecue, St. Louis barbecue. What kind of barbecue do you like?
My backyard barbecue, because that's where it is. I had a friend of mine who I went to visit in Kansas City, a business associate, and he took me to a barbecue. And Kansas City is one of those places that's
famous for
barbecue.
Yeah.
And so when Kansas City and the Giants were playing in the World Series, he said, can you get tickets for a reasonable price? they couldn't get tickets. They were in the thousands of dollars because first time they'd been in the World Series in a long, long time.
Yeah.
Giants had been three times now in 5 years.
Yeah.
And so he says, can you get me tickets? And I said, oh, tell me your price range. And I said, oh, yeah, we can get good tickets.
Yeah.
So he flew out, and I took him to lunch. I said, this might be a little sacrilegious for a guy from Kansas City, but I'm going to take you to a barbecue place in California.
Yeah.
And we had a mixed barbecue plate of sausage, brisket, ribs, beans.
Oh, sounds good. Yeah, making me hungry.
It was really good.
Yeah.
And we couldn't finish it.
Yeah.
It was so much. We couldn't finish it. And so we took the extra, and we ended up coming off the train, and between the three blocks, there was a few homeless
people. Plenty of people there, yeah.
And so we ended up feeding a couple of homeless people with California barbecue.
California barbecue. All right. Well, Andy, it's been fantastic to get to know you a little better. I appreciate you coming in. You're the first person who's not like a staff member to come in on the podcast,
right.
And we have more coming up. But I just thank you for taking the time out of your day to share a little about yourself and talk about the message.
Absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity.